Here is a question from Dharma Setu Das Down Under. Dharma Setu Karna Karna, with Sankh 10 devotees in the UK, and they moved to New Zealand. I believe they're now on the farming project over there. Anyway, Dharma Sita is asking, I have a question regarding the cause for Bharat Maharaj becoming distracted from his devotional service and taking birth as a deer. The question is, specifically, how someone at the stage of Bhava Bhakti, such as Bharat Maharaj, could be distracted in his devotional service. It is stated in chapter 17 of Śrīla Bhakti Cintamani that, quote, at Bhava, only those hindrances caused by offending great Vaishnavas remain, unquote. One anartas from Vaishnava Aparad were anartas, excuse me, from Vaishnava Aparad, the cause of his distraction. Question. The answer is yes, that was the case. Let's read what Srimad Bhagavatam has to say about the cause of Bharat Maharaj's fall down. Sukadeva Goswami says, my dear king, in this way Bharat Maharaj was overwhelmed by an uncontrollable desire which was manifest in the form of the deer. Due to the fruit of results of his past deeds, he fell down from mystic yoga, austerity, and worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If it were not due to his past fruit of activity, how could he have been attracted to the deer after giving up the association of his own son and family, considering them stumbling blocks on the path of spiritual life? How could he show uncontrollable affection for a deer? This was definitely due to his past karma. The king was so engrossed in petting and maintaining the deer that he fell down from his spiritual activities. In due course of time, insurmountable death, which is compared to a venomous snake that enters the hole created by a mouse, situated itself before him. Now, in the verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the words past fruit of activity are used. And the actual Sanskrit is sva arabdha karma. Prabhupada translates by the bad results of his unseen fruit of actions. Because Bharat Maharaj was thus advanced, therefore we need to interpret the meaning of this word arabdha karma, or fruit of results of past deeds. Because otherwise, stated, it doesn't make sense. Fruit of activities, ordinary fruit of activities, don't have influence on those situated on the transcendental platform. But we do know that offenses still have an effect on those situated on the platform of Bhava Bhakti. Therefore, because the direct meaning of this verse doesn't correlate with the Siddhanta of Krishna consciousness, it requires interpretation. And the interpretation is that when here the word arabdha karma is used, it actually means aparad. In Bhaktisandarbha, Jiva Goswami confirms this and elaborates further, saying that the ordinary fruit of activities are not strong enough to create an impediment on the path of devotional service. Therefore, it must have been some offenses that Jada Bharat committed in his previous birth. And then Jiva Goswami gives the example of Maharaj Indradyumna and other devotees. Maharaj Indradyumna here referring to the previous life of Gajendra, the elephant, created an offense and therefore had to take birth as an elephant. Similarly here, Bharat Maharaj had to take the birth of a deer. It must have been because he committed some offenses in the past. Now, there's a further elaboration on this point. It's understandable that sometimes devotees commit some offenses and they're not aware of those offenses, because it may have even been happened before one span of memory in a previous lifetime. Still, we have to take the results of our past sinful activities. And the disposition of a Vaishnava is tatte nukampam shushumikshumano. That's fine, whatever befalls me, let that happen. However, there's another reason why devotees commit offenses. And why is that? And this is very exceptional, but it's also described that Krishna personally arranges for such a friction to take place amongst Vaishnavas. Why is that? Because the result of that will be is that the devotee is then separated from him, and he will long to attain Krishna, and in that way his love for Krishna will grow. And Narada Muni is an example of this, is that even though he began to love Krishna, still there's some impurity present within Narada Muni's heart. Therefore, the Lord said, because you're incomplete in your service, not completely free from Idharadharas, you'll not be able to see me again further in this lifetime. So Bharat Maharaj, who is experiencing great ecstasy, in order to increase his love for him, then it may have been that some offense was arranged in a previous lifetime, so that as a deer, still fully remembering his previous life and his devotion to the Lord, his desire to achieve the Lord increased and increased to such a great extent that when he then died and took birth as Jad Bharat, he was no longer willing to have any type of interaction with this world, and therefore he lived completely like an avadhuta. And that separation from the Lord in the form of a deer, where he wasn't either able to practice devotional service properly, because in a deer's body you can't do that. The only thing he could do was to hear from Vaishnavas as they were speaking in their ashram, and he would listen from the thicket nearby. But his great hankering to be with Krishna increased his love more and more. And this is Krishna's desire. Krishna sometimes makes arrangements for us to be put in such situations where our love for Krishna will be increased by the fact that we're separated from him. Of course, that will happen to advanced devotees, because if someone is not sufficiently advanced, then rather than increasing loving devotion, his Krishna consciousness may decrease. But for someone in Bharat Maharaj's situation, then his love increased further. Still, the example that we get from Bharat Maharaj is that one should not become slack in devotional service. If we do, then certainly we'll fall away from the path of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Jiva Goswami states that a learned scholar who does not avoid slackness in loving service to the Lord will commit offenses. Therefore, to be an incompetent fool who avoids offenses and easily attains perfection. He said, makes this very interesting point, that Krishna is very kind to the distressed and is very merciful to that person, namely someone who is incompetent. But when an intelligent person is an offender, he is so out of malice. On the other hand, when someone is foolish, he's not an offender out of malice. An example of an intelligent person who commits offense is Daksha. He was very learned, but he was proud of his advancement, and therefore he committed offenses to a great Vaishnava and had to take birth once again, and then because he offended Narada Muni, he had to take birth again. Therefore, Sadhu Shabadan, one should be very careful of committing offenses. Jiva Goswami makes a very interesting statement. He says, if in the past or present one has never committed any offenses, by once engaging in devotional service, he will immediately attain perfection. So we should keep that in mind. If perfection is far from us, and we're not immediately perceiving the benefits of that perfection, then we've committed some offenses, offenses to Vaishnavas, offenses to devotional service, offenses to the holy name. And those devotees who are learned, those devotees who have been practicing Krishna consciousness for a long time, for them, committing such offenses is more serious than for those who are beginners, foolish, or even non-humans who indirectly commit offenses. In any case, we should take note of the example of Jad Bharat, Bharat Maharaj, and be careful how we execute devotional service, and at the same time also be aware that it may be that in some past life we have committed offenses, and we're carrying the burden of those offenses. And that's all right, provided that we're in the right frame of mind, for it will be a means by which our devotional service will increase. And the last lesson to be learned from the incident of Bharat Maharaj, which is a very good one, instrumental for preaching, is that Bharat Maharaj abandoned his devotional service because of compassion for a living entity. He had pure compassion for this deer. But still, that compassion became an obstacle to his devotional service. So by that example, we can see that compassion for living entities is not as important as devotional service to the Lord. Service to Krishna is superior to service to man or other living entities. As often we've heard this saying, manava seva, madhava seva, that service to Krishna is service to man. Story of Bharat Maharaj refutes this point. It shows that when you're engaging in devotional service, service to other living entities can become an obstacle, and therefore is less important. It was the cause of Bharat Maharaj's fall down, this compassion for other living entities. So compassion for other living entities is fine, so long as it assists our devotional service, but if it compromises it, then it should be abandoned. Anyway, this lesson should also be learned from this Leela. Hare Krishna.